Müslümanlar dedi, birincisi, Özbekistan Cumhuriyeti'ne müstakil İslami davranışlar tam alışıyla.
What you've just heard was an outstanding moment in the history of Uzbekistan. It's December 1991, around 50,000 people demonstrated in Namangan to give Islam more recognition in politics and society and for improved living standards. The voice belongs to Tuhir Yoldosh. He's the leader of a local Salafist terrorist organization and future co-founder of the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan. He calls for Islam to be enshrined in the constitution as the state religion, for Sharia law to be prioritized, for gender-segregated schools to be implemented, and for an Islamic state to be declared in Uzbekistan. And all this in the presence of Islam Karimov, the president of the newly founded Republic of Uzbekistan. When Karimov spoke to the crowd, he replied that those demands are unconstitutional, but Yoldosh snatches the microphone from him and forces Karimov to listen to his demands. Now, you may be wondering why the president of Uzbekistan is even going to a demonstration whose participants have occupied the government building of Namangan and are openly calling for Karimov's resignation. He may have even asked himself the same question, though. Perhaps the demonstrations exerted so much pressure on his still comparatively weak government that it seemed appropriate for him to speak to the crowd. Be it as it may, some say that this direct confrontation shaped Karimov's view of an Islam independent of the government and that he was determined to crush the Islamists. The Uzbek government's fear of losing control over Islam and its repressive measures are the topics of today's podcast. Welcome. Karimov started to move against the Islamists in Namangan in 1992, when his government arrested hundreds of Islamists as they continued not only to occupy the Namangan government building, but also to take hostages and proclaim Sharia law. In these early years of the Young Republic, it was already apparent that Karimov was not only prepared to use force against Islamists, but also against any form of opposition that he saw as a threat to Uzbekistan's stability.
For 25 years, he ruled more than 31 million Uzbeks with an iron fist, using brutal tactics to clamp down on even the whisper of dissent. It left no room for opposition voices, and the government has been repeatedly criticized for human rights abuses, religious repression, and censorship.
Regarding religious repression, Karimov pursued a dual strategy. On the one hand, he pushed through hard. Under Karimov's leadership, the opposition was repressed and silenced, and with it, all channels for political dissent, such as the independent media. In the following years, Karimov tightened his control over religious practice in Uzbekistan by imprisoning a number of independent clerics on dubious grounds. The government even ordered the surveillance of mosques and the imprisonment of overly independent Muslims. In 1998, the government passed a law that restricted Islamic life in a manner similar to Soviet times. For example, mosques had to be legally registered and had to be able to prove a minimum of 100 members whose identities and addresses were demanded by officials. Because of that, around 80% of the mosques were closed. At the end of 1998, only 700 were legally registered. Many women wearing hijab were excluded from universities and schools. Men with certain clothes or longer beards were subjected to harassment. And Friday prayers became propaganda events for Karimov's government. Violating the law on religion became a criminal offense and punished harshly. Those sentenced for extremism faced up to 20 years in prison, where religious inmates were usually treated more harshly. On the other hand, Karimov also understood that the public had an interest in Islam and therefore tried to integrate the religion publicly and symbolically, while trying to bring Islamic life more and more under the control of his government. Muslim religious practices returned to public life. However, a more apolitical, permissive Uzbek Islam, which was supposed to ban the interference of religion in politics. State historians even rewrote the history of Central Asian Sufism, excluding its politically oppositional features. They did the same with the history of the Jadids, which they reinterpreted as part of an Uzbek post-Soviet idea of a modern, national, and non-political Islam. These tactics continue until today.
The government of Uzbekistan has confirmed the death of President Islam Karimov. He will be buried later today in the city of Samarkand.
Since Karimov's death in 2016, his successor, Shavkat Mirziyoyev, is in office. He's considered a reformer, as he opened Uzbekistan and granted its citizens more freedom. This shift in course also had an impact on religious policy. Restrictions on religious practice were lifted. The spectrum of Muslim civil society organizations has become larger and more diverse. Women wear hijab more often, and believers are no longer afraid of reprisals for visiting a mosque or discussing religious issues in public. However, Mirziyoyev's reform course was not only positive. Many religious policy initiatives continue central aspects of his predecessor's policies, especially in the area of education. Listen to Saida Mirziyoyeva, daughter and assistant to the president. She compares her father's policies with the ideals of the Jadids.
The new Uzbekistan, headed by the president of the country, is moving confidently towards building a secular, rule of law state and civil society, creating a high-quality education system, ensuring freedom of speech openness as the Jadids dreamed of.
Whether the Jadids would consider the political reality in Uzbekistan to be so great is rather questionable, as religious education in particular has become an important agent for the state ideology in which political or even oppositional Islam has essentially no place. Mirziyoyev's government is restricting the rights of religion and tightening the legal framework for the activities of religious organizations and the educational system. The state's claim to control religious educational institutions and research institutes extends even to the design of curricula. The government claims the right to decide what is taught in the name of Islam and who's authorized to do so. In this way, religiously based principles and regulations are framed as traditional values and general moral concepts. Islam becomes a representative form of culture, purified of everything that does not fit the ideal image of the national Uzbek Islam, like missionary work, politicization, or militancy. Everything non-conform is rejected as undesirable, non-traditional religious teachings in the name of combating extremism. This includes not only extremist positions, but all attitudes that descend from the state's ideology. Apart from these softer aspects of Mirziyoyev's educational religious policies, there's also oppression against nonconformist behavior. One can be targeted by law enforcement agencies for posting a video about food ingredients that are forbidden for Muslims, or for promoting the wearing of a burqa. Young people in particular are facing prison terms for sharing religious content with their friends on social media. According to an article published by The Diplomat, in May 2023, a 21-year-old student was sentenced to 3 years in prison for sending a YouTube link to an Islamic song in a Telegram group chat. In conclusion, the authorities in Tashkent apparently perceive any manifestation of Islamic practice not endorsed or overseen by the state as a political threat. In addition, the government wants to prevent Islam from becoming politicized at all costs in order to maintain political and religious sovereignty and prevent a political Muslim opposition in the name of national stability.